battle you're fighting. Does it seem like the storm just won't break? Is there a mountain in front of you that doubt says we'll never move? And you wonder, will God make a way? Tell me a time he's not been faithful. Tell me a morning his mercies were new. Tell me a moment he was unable to carry you through. Tell me a day he was less than almighty, when he could not roll back the tide. Child, when you look back, you're gonna find there was never a time. So be strong in the Lord and remember to take hold of faith and stand firm. You can be confident the Lord keeps his promises. If you doubt him, just read through his word. And tell me a time he's not been faithful. Tell me a morning his mercies were new. Tell me a moment he was unable to carry you through. Tell me a day he was less than almighty, when he could not roll back the tide. Child, when you look back, you're gonna find there was never a time. He can work miracles through the impossible. If you don't believe it, just go on and try. Tell me a time he's not been faithful. Tell me a morning his mercies were new. Tell me a moment he wasn't able to carry you through. Tell me a day he was less than almighty, when he could not roll back the tide. Child, when you look back, you're gonna find there was never a day he was less than almighty, when he could not roll back the tide. Child, when you look back, you're gonna find there was never a time. Child, when you look back, you're gonna find there was never a time.
Let's all stand and we'll change over service. Amen. Don't need to do anything after that but get to the word. Amen. Lord, open the eyes of my heart this evening. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. Sing, holy, 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 holy.
Amen. That's our desire tonight.
Amen. Right.
It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. Good to be back home.
Amen.
Good to be back among friends and family. We had a good time Sunday and had a good time of fellowship.
Amen.
It's good to be
Amen.
Back. Tonight, I just want to read from, we go right to the Word and read from Luke chapter 24, verses 27 to 32. And just maybe take a little encouraging thought for this afternoon and speak on the greatest news in history. So I believe we got some good news to share. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather together around your word, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I know, Lord, your people have come, Lord, to sit down at the table of life and they're hungry, Lord. And I pray, God, that you'll give them something to satisfy, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'll just come in among us, Lord, and feel welcome here to Lord, to just have a real church experience tonight, Lord God, to be able to worship you and learn of you and to be edified, Lord, and strengthened, Lord. And I pray, God, that you'll, that's my prayer tonight, Lord, that something will be said or done to help somebody, Lord. And I pray, God, that you'll, Lord, lift up those that are weary and unblind, those that can't see right, Lord, that you'll just heal and deliver, Lord Jesus, and you'll just move among us. Lord, we ask this blessing upon your word and upon your people, Lord, tonight in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So in Luke chapter 24, it says, I'm kind of going to start down at verse 27. And if you go back and read the whole chapter, this is talking about all of these things happened on the day of the resurrection. And it says, and this is where the two Cleopas and his friend were walking on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus kind of, you know, popped out of the bushes or began to come along, join along with them, began to walk along with them. And they didn't know who he was. And it says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of your word. Now, just kind of, Y'all know how I like to do is just kind of take and break down a sermon that Brother Branham preached, and the message this afternoon to break down is the greatest news flash in history. And you know, I kind of realized one day that it's better to just say what Brother Branham said, you know, there's a lot of things maybe we could add into sermons a lot of times and everything, but if you just preach the word, there's power in the word. And I believe that comes from kind of dying out to yourself when you realize that it doesn't matter so much maybe our opinions and the way things we think we should go and whatnot. So I just kind of want to take what Brother Branham said and just kind of lay it out there, and I believe that it will have an effect.
Amen.
Now Brother Branham said that these two men, that they began to walk down the road, and along the road they were looking around, and he said that, you know, after Jesus died and they rose again, everybody was kind of in expectation for something to happen, and they were looking, maybe like looking expecting to meet Jesus. And you know, you begin to kind of meditate on that, expecting, coming and expecting. Everywhere they went, people were wondering and expecting for something to happen. I wonder if that's how we should be when we come into the house of the Lord, when we go to special services or whatever. Sometimes we kind of lose our expectation and we kind of begin to go through the motions, but not these. They were expecting to meet Jesus. You know, the Bible says that he will appear to those that look for him. If you're looking for him, then he's going to appear for you. In other words, if you're just meditating constantly, thinking about him, thinking about his word, and I believe that's the right way to approach the Bible and the scriptures, to actually, you know, go through and just highlight things and just sit there and think about it and meditate on it. And before long, God will begin to open up things to you. He'll begin to reveal to you things that maybe before you stumbled over and tripped over and wondered at. Now, so they were under that expectation. And Brother Branham said those, think about those 40 days that Jesus was on earth appearing for 40 days. And all during that time, people, you know, constantly looking, is he going to appear here? Is he going to appear here? And he would show up among 500 and show up among a few disciples and Thomas missing and show up with Thomas there and show up here and there, show up to Peter and just constantly showing up. And I believe, see, this message that Brother Branham preached, I believe was to open our eyes to the fact that he is here. If we'll just come expecting that he is here. He's not a God of yesterday. He's not somebody that's still in the grave, but he is actually still alive among us. Brother Bram said how that every bend in the road, you might meet with him face to face, the resurrected Lord Jesus. At every turn, think about that. At every turn, or say it like this, at every church service, every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday night, every time you turn a corner, there you might run into the Lord Jesus. Not just some story from ages gone by, but the resurrected Lord Jesus revealing himself in flesh again, where you can actually see him. So I want to declare to you tonight, maybe just come expecting to see him. Come expecting to see him. Now, come expecting always. When you're driving in your car, when you're listening to a tape, expect to meet him there, because it's not just in church when you can really enter into worship, but it's when you're in the shower, when you're in alone in the car with God, when you're sitting under the apple tree or when you're doing your work, is when God can come by and speak to you. Now, Brother Ram said on the road to Emmaus one day, he said two men were walking along, and he said a man stepped out, just an ordinary man, not dressed any different in priestly robes. He was a man, just ordinary clothes on there, a man that walked. He said, and them they walked out, began to talk to them, said, why are you weary? Now, isn't that how so many times we'll come across God in our life? Maybe just somebody come along just speaking to us. You see, many times God, when he appears, is veiled behind badger skins. And many times we don't realize that it's actually God talking to you. A man behind the pulpit or your pastor clothed in badger skins or of somebody in your family that's speaking the word of God to you. But if we'll just realize that that's God appearing to us, God giving us something to take this journey by, something to conquer with, something to overcome. And they said, why? You're a stranger, said Jesus of Nazareth, who we knew to be a prophet of God and expected him to be the king of Israel, and they killed him.
That's right.
And he's dead.
Yep.
And he's buried. All this trouble has set in and everything. Looking at circumstances, wondering like maybe so many in the message today, when pastors are leaving the message and things are going around. What's going on? I wonder if he's still alive, or if these are just stories that we heard. I wonder if he's still alive, but he is still alive and he will manifest himself. I believe, you know, one thing I kind of got to thinking about is, you know, the kids have been going this summer as we kind of get out of this pandemic stuff, and they started going back to camps, and I'm the one at home that kind of sits up and waits for them to get back. And when they get back at night, you know, I'm sitting there and I want to hear the things that are done. I want to hear these stories. And they come back and they're not telling about just kind of going to, like, maybe, you know, just like regular, we'll say regular church, but they're coming back telling about how that they met Jesus, how that they saw God move, how that they had an experience. You see, that'll excite anybody to know that he's not just a God of history or something that's dead, still in the grave, but he is alive.
Amen.
And Brother Branham said he talked with them all day and they never recognized him. He made like he would go on by, and they constrained him and kept constraining him till finally he went in with him. And now sometimes you gotta constrain him a little bit. You got to get a little bit desperate. You got to do like Jacob did and wrestle with the angel. You got to want something. He said all day, not knowing who he was. Now you think about, maybe think about your own life. Maybe you've been coming to church your whole life. Maybe you've been coming to church because your mom and your daddy, that's what they did. And you come to church because you're the people that you're associated with come to church. But do you know that Jesus Christ is alive, or are you still looking at it wondering if he's alive? After talking with him all day, hearing him preach for 3 years, hearing him preach after his resurrection, Brother Branham said, and did not recognize him until he did something just like he did before his crucifixion. You see, there they were on that road to Emmaus, and he took them, they took him, they constrained him into the door behind the, in the little building there and shut the door. And there he did something to prove that he was alive, something that he had done before the resurrection. And if you read on down in that chapter in the book of Acts, it talks about something related to the breaking of the bread. He broke the bread in the same way that he did before his resurrection. Now, Brother Branham said it, sometimes it takes the supernatural to make us understand. It takes the supernatural to make us understand. He said, isn't it a strange thing that it takes something on the side of supernatural to make us understand that it's him? Now, maybe this is maybe a little simple message tonight, but I just want to declare that this is a supernatural gospel. This is not, we're not just learning about things like in a reading room and then just kind of sharing with people how much we know, but there is actually a living reality to this, a supernatural God manifesting himself in supernatural ways to a supernatural bride. Brother Bram said there were many who taught. Hey, and now listen, this is a quote that stumbles a lot of people. I like quotes that kind of trip people up. He said that teaching itself won't do it. Right. Teaching itself won't do it. That sometimes you need the supernatural. Right. Now let's massage that a little bit. Let's dive into that to see what he might mean when he says that teaching itself won't do it. Now, come on now. That you know that stuff that trips people up a little bit. You begin to wonder, now, wait a second. Does he mean that we don't need teachers in the fivefold ministry? That can't be what he means. He doesn't mean we don't need teachers in the fivefold ministry. But you see, Brother Branham said there were many who were taught that there was going to be a Messiah. There were many who were taught that there was going to be a Messiah one day, but then one day, the Messiah actually showed up. And when the Messiah showed up and manifested the supernatural, then it actually makes it real. See, you can hear about it, but when the Messiah shows up, when he shows up in your life and actually, when something actually connects, when the wires connect and there the Spirit of the living God comes and quickens the word, then that takes all the doubt. That's what takes all the doubt away. Listen, you can argue over what you've been taught, but you can't argue over what's been revealed. You can't argue over what's been supernaturally made manifest. You see how sometimes it takes the supernatural to actually make it something that's real to you. You see, the Pharisees kept all their rules and everything. They thought that it was just rules, and they thought, well, now we got a good handle on what the Sabbath is, and we wash our pots and our pans, and we say how far, we make rules for how far you can carry sticks. But then Jesus came along and he baffled them because he healed somebody on the Sabbath. He went down to the pool of Bethesda and said, pick up your cot on the Sabbath day. And it baffled them. Why? Because there was the interpretation of the scripture. There was the supernatural made manifest, and all of their teaching that they had heard, it manifested there in their sight, all what their teaching could not make real. You see? What about how all of these denominational systems have taught Matthew 28:19 and taught what it was and laid down the teaching, but then one day a prophet came with a supernatural revelation, a supernatural understanding of what that was and shared with us, tying it back to what Peter preached, that the true revelation of Matthew 28:19 is Acts 2:38, that the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is Jesus Christ, because a Father's got a name and a Son has a name and the Holy Ghost has a name, and that name of those offices is Jesus Christ. There's one God that's being manifested in those three offices. That's one God in the office of the Holy Ghost in living and dwelling in you, and that supernatural understanding, when it's revealed to you, you can't argue with it. John chapter 6 verse 53, when Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you. Now see, we can teach this.
Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You can teach that. Except you eat his flesh and get all confused like the Catholics do, that they believe that when they're taking the communion and the wafer that they're actually eating the body of Jesus Christ. But you see, a supernatural revelation, a supernatural, when the supernatural comes, it will give the true interpretation of that. You see why we've got, it takes the supernatural. It takes the supernatural to give you that substance that you cannot be shaken from. It takes more than teaching. Teaching itself won't do it. Teaching lays that foundation. It gives you something, but then it's got to be quickened by the word. It was the woman at the well that all her life she had heard that her father or mother or whoever it was had taught her about one day there's coming a Messiah. But then she met a man that told her about all of her husbands and all the things that were wrong in her life and all the sin in her life. And she ran into the city saying, come see a man. Come see the supernatural that has been witnessed to me. I've been in touch with the supernatural, something that was beyond all of the teaching that I've heard. Peter and Andrew that had been taught by their father, and they'd been taught that one day the Messiah is coming, and then one day they met a man that said, cast your net on the other side of the boat, and there they were witness to the supernatural that rose that teaching to life, and there in front of them was what they had been taught. There in front of them was God manifested in flesh, and Moses that had been taught by his mama taught that one day you're going to be a deliverer, one day you're going to be raised up for this purpose, and he tried to do it on his own. He tried to do it on top of that teaching that he had, but the teaching wasn't enough. One day he met the pillar of fire and that put that teaching into action. Down he went into Egypt and he said, let my people go. Do you realize that's the supernatural? When he said, let my people go, that's something that all the teaching couldn't give him, something personal. Brother Brown said, talking about Peter, he said that man had been taught by his father that when Messiah cometh, he'll be a prophet. And Simon was a fisherman, but one day when he walked in the presence of Jesus Christ and he said, your name is Simon and you are the son of Jonas and I'll call you Peter from now on. He knowed that was the Messiah. He was a changed man from that day on. You got to get in touch with the supernatural. When you get in touch with the supernatural, it will change your life. It will change your life from a cold, dead, formal Christian. It'll make you know how to worship and how to serve God and how to live for God. It'll change you so that his attributes are made manifest in you. Now listen, think about this now, Philip. In Acts chapter 8, he went down to the Samaritans. Now listen how Brother Branham lays this out, that Philip taught the Samaritans. He taught them. And then Peter came behind to unlock the door. Now in Acts chapter 8 verse 5 to 6, it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. You see, they believed what Philip said. They believed what was taught to them. They went and were baptized. They listened to what he said. They were baptized, but yet they didn't receive the Holy Ghost. In other words, they hadn't yet got in contact with the supernatural. The wires hadn't connected yet, even though they were taught. You see, it takes more than just being taught. It takes the supernatural. And you see in Acts chapter 8 verse 14 to 17, it says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they had received the teaching. They sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then lay their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, Brother Branham said that Peter, you know what Peter did? He actually unlocked the door to the supernatural, to the three groups of people that came off that ark. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. He unlocked the Holy Ghost to the people, to the Jews at Pentecost. He unlocked the Holy Ghost to the house of Cornelius, to the Gentiles at the house of Cornelius. And he unlocked there to the Samaritans when he came down to the people that had been taught the word. And what does unlock mean? It's preaching the gospel to unlock in a way that you can open up your door to realize that it's there for you, to realize that God is alive, actually actually present in the building, that he's there ready for you. If you'll just open up your heart and believe it, that it's available for you if you want it. If there, now the teaching was there. The teaching had already been laid out, and he was preaching something that made it accessible to them, preaching it in a way that they knew that it was there, and it unlocked, opened the door. He gave them the key. Didn't Jesus say that I give you the keys? Peter had the keys. He had the revelation of Jesus Christ to open up the door to the supernatural to them. And you see, even though they had heard the teaching, even though they had heard Philip go down there, they needed the supernatural. Sometimes it takes somebody with the key to unlock the supernatural. Now, you know, Brother Branham, in the oneness of unity, he was laying out how that was actually what Billy Graham's problem was. His problem was that he would go into a place and he would preach repentance, and the people would believe, and they would say, yes, I need to repent. But yet they would empty out. In other words, they would get emptied out. But yet there wasn't something to fill them up. They needed somebody with the key to open up the door that they could get filled up. You see, it wasn't enough just for them to hear Billy Graham say that you need to repent and everything. And they would... Now let's listen to the way Brother Branham said it. He said, but today, as Billy Graham, our beloved brother, as he's having the people to dump themselves out with sin, he hasn't got the message of filling up again. He hasn't got the message of filling up again. That's what's the matter. You are dumped out, but let me humbly speak to you as your brother. Now listen to that. Let me humbly speak to you as your brother. Why? Because he had a message of filling up. He had a message that could fill you. Do you realize that actually what Billy Graham did put them in a worse situation? Because now they were emptied out and they got filled up again with a religious spirit instead of getting filled up with the Holy Ghost. And now they wouldn't go set in their churches and everything, and they would just ended up being just a horrible situation. If you don't get the good man of the house at the door to keep the devil out, then the devil's going to come in and make himself right at home and make you a good religious person sitting in a church, ain't filled up with the Holy Ghost, just criticizing everybody else, criticizing the preacher when he's preaching the Holy Ghost, criticizing somebody when they're preaching repentance, because all you end up with again is a good intellectual person sitting in a church that's been emptied out but ain't been filled up again. You see, what we need is to be filled up with the Holy Ghost. Filled up so that we can recognize what God is doing in this day. Filled up so that we've got power to overcome. Now, what is the supernatural? The supernatural, the dictionary says, of a manifestation or event attributed to some force beyond scientific understanding or the laws of nature. In other words, it's something that you can't understand. You can't understand when, like the story I was sharing with some of the brothers, how a brother that we know in the message was preaching behind the pulpit, and he stepped away for a little bit, and one of the ministers said, I saw your iPad go flipping through. It was flipping through, and it opened up the table app, and it clicked on a sermon, and while he was preaching, a sermon began to play. Wow, that's beyond scientific understanding. That's actually the supernatural at work. The supernatural at work is when you're in a church and somebody looks up and says, I saw an angel standing over there on the side. The supernatural, when the preaching of the God is, of the word is going forth, and somebody after the service says, I felt a spirit leave me and now I've got liberty. That's the supernatural. You can't explain it because something supernatural is happening. It's supernatural when you look at a real Christian person and they're actually walking and demonstrating patience. A temperance, when a car pulls out in front of them, they don't fly off the handles. Something's got a hold of them that you can't explain by scientific reasoning or the laws of nature. Something beyond the realms of the natural man, the natural eye. Something's got a hold of them from another world. That's why Brother Brown preached that sermon, looking to the unseen, because we're not looking to what the natural eye can see. We're looking beyond, we're looking to by faith to something that the natural eye cannot see, into the supernatural realm. Listen, that's why we've got pictures of the pillar of fire on our walls, because we're following a supernatural message. We're actually, you know, everybody says, well, the message people follow a man. We're actually the only people that don't follow a man. Everybody else is following their presbyters and their denominational system and whatever the Pope says. But we're the only ones that actually follow the leading of the Spirit and don't put a period behind what we believe, because what God shows us today, He'll open it up to me. Let me tell you, when I read and I study these messages, messages and then go preach them again at another church or something. Every time I read it, more and more opens up. Why? Because we're not bound by what some man says, some presbyter or something, but the Holy Ghost, our Joshua, is leading us into the promised land. He's taking us to where we need to go. Listen, the pillar of fire proving that the message is true. You know, I'm not going to call names here, but one of the kids here was battling out whether the message was true. And they went down to one of the Louisiana camp and they had the prayer line down there and battling out whether or not this message was true. They came out and looked back at the prayer line and there over the prayer line was the pillar of fire vindicating and proving that this message is true. And it swooped over the building. And listen, now maybe their life wasn't changed then. Maybe it took a while for something actually take a hold, but listen, we're accompanied by we're being led by something that's supernatural. We're not here just to learn about something, but there's actually a God that's in our midst proving His word. It's the Spirit of God that can move through a building. It's something that can deliver somebody from a suicidal thought or wanting to cut themselves or slice up their body or destroy themselves. Something that a rushing mighty wind that can rush through a building and deliver sinners and convict sinners. I was talking to an evangelist last year or so. And he was telling me about how he was in a service and he was preaching away and he at the end of the service, it began to die down and he began to talk about how he began to say just by moved by the Spirit, I believe that God's still dealing with somebody and I just want to wait and wait. And he began to linger. And after a while, after a few minutes, somebody just rose up and they said, it's me. And they began to shout, it's me. I'm the one that you're talking about. You see, that's the supernatural dealing with somebody. The supernatural can speak to a heart and say, you're the one that I'm calling. That's what the gospel does. It pricks at a heart and calls and draws. He's calling for you tonight. He's calling. He's pulling at you to come to Him and give everything that you've got to Him. Listen, the word that's being preached is the most valuable thing that you'll ever come across in your life. There's nothing in this life more valuable than the gospel. The supernatural is what will fill with the Holy Ghost. You realize the world is actually looking for something genuine, something that can only be satisfied and presented by something supernatural. The world is looking for a genuine Christian. The world is looking for the power of God on display. The world is looking for a living Bible, a manifested word. And listen, I believe that we've got it. We should share it. We've got it. Let's put it on display. This is a supernatural message. Yes, right. Revealing a supernatural God to a supernatural people. Exactly right. Yeah. My, if we can just get away from thinking that we're just coming to church. And do you know, when I was up there in McKaysville, I was quoting that quote that where Brother Brown said that I think the brother that visited here a little bit a while, he mentioned that 80% of the people, 80% of Christians don't even know why they go to church. 80% of Christians. Yep. Just come to church just to kind of sit around and be seen or see or because somebody that they know did it. But we're coming to church to be changed. We're coming to church, like Brother Ram said, in perfect strength by perfect weakness, because we're broken, messed up people that need something. We're not coming because we're perfect, but we're coming because the perfect one can change us to be like Him. Now, Brother Bram said he never commissioned his church then to go and teach the word. He said, preach the gospel or manifest the gospel. And the gospel came not through word only, but through the power and demonstrations of the Holy Spirit. And I know that's tripped up so many people. Well, see, we're not supposed to teach does that mean you're not supposed to sit down and reason with somebody about what Acts 2:38 means and reason with some, just have a good discussion? We're not supposed to do any of that. We're just supposed to take our brain out and just lay it over to the side and just go through life like a zombie and not reason or anything? No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, listen, let's dwell on what the gospel really is. The gospel is actually taking the word for your day that proves that Jesus Christ is alive and real. And that is what will transform lives. You know, I believe that for years it was maybe taught that before Martin Luther came on the scene that maybe they read that scripture many times in Habakkuk and elsewhere in the Bible where it says the just shall live by faith. And they probably taught it. They taught it. But one day the supernatural touched the lips of that man and he began to say the just shall live by faith. And it took on a new life then. sin, because now the supernatural had touched it and became a word for their day to get them out of that denominational, that Catholic system, to bring them out of that, to open up a door out of that age to where they could actually realize what God wanted them to see in that day, that the just don't live by trying to work up something, that you don't have to do something to be saved, but the just shall live by faith. You're saved by faith, by grace through faith. It's the grace of God. That, and then you believe on that grace that he gives you, and that's how you're saved. So what is the gospel? Now, 2 Peter verses 1 through 20 says, now knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Not just some things that we're thinking of coming up with of our own self. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. As they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, I was reading a quote. I don't have it with me, so I can't remember what sermon it was in. But Brother Brown was talking about when you're speaking under the Holy Spirit, he said, sometimes I'll say things that appear to contradict something that I already said, and I'll ask myself, am I a hypocrite? For example, he'll go into a church that's a little bit morgish and he'll preach, liven it up a little bit. He'll preach a church that's a little bit leaning too much toward frolicking, and he'll preach, go back toward the other direction. Why? Because he's balancing everybody up. When you preach something under the Holy Spirit, it actually brings life to the word. It makes it a living word. It's not something that will just make you cold and formal, but it'll make you live. It'll make you live the gospel. The real gospel, when it's preached, will actually deliver you from your sins. It'll actually change you. It'll open up your eyes and make you realize that your eyes were veiled and now you can see things as they truly are. Now listen how Brother Brown said it, and has the Lord spoken only to Moses? He said, the word is the beginning or the forerunner of the gospel. So you gotta be taught, because the word foreruns the gospel. His word, he said, the word goes out, and the gospel of the power of the demonstration of God follows the word, makes the word manifest. So that's what the gospel is. It's the manifestation of the word. He said, that is the gospel. That's what the gospel is. When the word is actually made visible, when it's made real. He said, so it's not just a ritualistic affair, but it's absolutely a real living reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ living among men. And that's the faith that I'm trying my best to contend for today. That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his power is unlimited. His power is unlimited. Do you really? That'll take the veil off your eyes when you realize that Brother Brown said, how foolish it would be for a mouse down in the granaries of Egypt to eat sparingly. I think, well, this is going to run out. How foolish of us to eat sparingly from the word of God, to eat sparingly from the master's table, because we're at a table of unlimited power. Listen, whatever you believe, you can have it. If it conforms to God's word, you can have your healing. You can have your salvation. You can have the salvation of your family. You can restore fellowship when it's lost. Whatever you need, if you believe it, because the power of God is unlimited. Now listen, you see, even when I'm preaching this, I can kind of just feel it. You just kind of draw up. Yeah, I know, but what about my situation? Because why? You've been sitting on that situation so long. Like the man that's been at the pool of Bethesda, sitting there for so long, and then Jesus came by. When Jesus comes by, when the supernatural is manifested, it makes all the difference. If we could just get the veil ripped away from our eyes so that we could see that God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the same as he was when he was preaching through Brother Branham. He's still the same. He's still the same. If you can just believe that whatever you have need of, you can still tap into that tree of life and receive it. He said at the second coming, he said the gospel is not go out and teach them the Bible. He said that isn't the gospel. It said in the scriptures that the gospel didn't come to you just in word only. Listen, because you teach somebody the Bible, that's great. Now they know the Bible. Now they begin to kind of get a uppity in their head. I can quote more than you, and I know more than all that. But when you get a touch of the supernatural, he said, the gospel, that is the word, but the letter killeth. the Spirit giveth life. He said, now a seed laying here on the pulpit here is just a seed until it dies and becomes germatized. Yeah. Germatized and dies, it'll never do anything. So the seed, the word here has to be made manifest in order to be of God.
Right.
In order to be of God, it's got to be made manifest. Now what are you talking about, Brother Bob? I'm talking about when Moses was taught, he went and killed an Egyptian. And you see, that's how the letter killeth. That, the letter will make people feel just terrible and beat down and everything when the letter is just a letter. But when the Spirit is preached, then that'll transform the message from murder, from killing. It'll transform it into let my people go. And we're going out. We're going out and we're being led by the Holy Spirit. We're going out after the pillar of fire, being led by the supernatural with the word of God in the tables as they crossed over the Jordan River. Brother Branham said, in the mark of the beast and the seal of God, he said, in other words, to preach the gospel would be to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, the gospel come not in word only, but through power, manifestations of the Holy Spirit. That's right. It has to make the word manifest. And if the Spirit is in the word, the true Spirit of God in the word, if ye abide in me and my word in you, ask what you will, and it'll be done to you. You see what coming to church does? It actually begins to line up our mind. It begins to transform our mind so that we're thinking right. You realize maybe think of it this way. The only thing standing between us and the rapture is our lack of understanding, the lack of our spiritual understanding. So that if the eyes of our open understanding were open to give you that, to bring you the new birth, if the eyes of your understanding will one day be open to a revelation that you are going to be raptured and you'll step over. That's why we go to church, because the word of God, the quickened word of God, actually has power to transform. That's why Brother Bram said God never told a man to labor 30 years and harvest nothing. He gave us the open door of word and power, and that is what we are supposed to use. He said, if you're not seeing the results that Jesus said you would see, it's because you are not preaching the true gospel. Now, to me, that's not so much pushing down, but that's pulling up to realize that if you're preaching the true gospel, it's going to have an effect. If you're believing the right word, it's going to have an effect. Now, it might be a long while that ox is slogging through, but one day you're going to come to the man. One day you're going to come to the eagle, and the eagle will be flying. It's going to take off because the Spirit comes and rests upon the word. Brother Bram said,
amen.
The success of the church lies within the preaching of the gospel,
right,
of the power of God and the demonstration of the Spirit.
Amen.
He said that's the church in itself is God's spiritual revelation of his Son that's made manifest to you in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That's the success of the church. That is the church. That's if you're not seeing the results, you're not preaching that. But if you are, it's because you're preaching that. Everything that we are, everything that we do stems from the gospel, which is the manifested word for your day, proving that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, that he's not still buried, but he's still alive. He said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. These signs shall follow them that believe. A manifestation of the presence of the resurrected Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And people who are spiritual conceptions receive it and believe it.
Amen.
Now, he said, it's the word. It's the word turned on. The light turns on the mechanics and they become dynamics. They are dynamics. When the dynamics comes to the mechanic, he said, it starts the thing rolling. That's right. Take the word. If there is one little thing missed up on it, it won't start. If you get your teaching right, get everything situated, it's gonna start. If you get it all, the groundwork, do you realize what this message is for us? We needed something to connect us to the supernatural. And all of the denominational teaching won't connect. That's why they don't have nothing but coffee shops, and why they don't have nothing but people in shorts and dreadlocks preaching behind little glass pulpits, and because they've taken the supernatural away. But the message of the hour actually puts the supernatural back into the belief, back into the church. Why? Because it's the truth to connect your earth to the supernatural, to connect you to another realm. And when you connect the pieces, then you got a spark. You're going to have something that'll give a jolt into the church. Listen, you know, Brother Brown, he even said, he talked about how when talking about laying on of hands, when you lay hands on somebody, then the Spirit of God is actually passing from one to another. It's actually something real. This is not a good place to testify and not that kind of forum, but I have been a witness to that, been in meetings and things where somebody come and lay hands on you and you talk about, so there's some power behind a real dedicated believer, a real dedicated son or daughter of God that puts their hands on you. Something is actually happening. Why? Because there's a supernatural, something working in a supernatural realm at place. You see, we're not just studying about something to know more than somebody else, to know more about the other churches, and so we can argue and debate about things, but we're actually getting in touch with Almighty God, in touch with the supernatural. He said it starts the thing rolling. That's right. Take the word. If there's one little thing missed up on it, it won't start. He said, lay aside every weight, every ism, every creed, that the dynamics, the Holy Spirit might flow through the word and vindicate the word that's promised of this day. Then the great church of God will rise to her feet like a jet-propelled plane, take off to the skies to meet her master. My, if we could get that revelation of what he's really saying there, then we wouldn't pity patty around with the Bible and with the message. We wouldn't let just the minister study it out, but we'd actually get serious with God and get on our knees and get to lay our Bible open and begin to pour through the scriptures and find out what the message is really about. Listen, I believe that we should be sold out to the word. God, that's the kind of person that's going to take a body change. Somebody that's so sold out to the word that they're going to be in the word all the way. They're just going to be eating and eating continually. They're going to lay aside all the movies. They're going to lay aside all the magazines. They're going to feast on that word until they actually become the word, until their mind is transformed by the word, until their body is transformed by the word, their character, their life, everything is transformed by the word, because they've value. They found the pearl of great price. They cast everything away until they actually become that thing that they found. Brother Branham said, that's exactly right. Until we do that, it won't work. That's what about? Yes, sir. Who will do it? Who will keep it in this day that we're thinking about? He said, remember, brother. There's going to be a lot of remembering. There's going to be a lot of remembering on the day of judgment, looking back and remembering the sermons that are preached and the things that were said. Remember. But now it's time to remember the words of encouragement. Listen, we're not hearing the words of man, but we're hearing something that echoed straight from Calvary 2,000 years ago. It's echoing down into the hearts of believers that will believe what was done for them 2,000 years ago and all the things that were preached by the Son of Man. Proverbs 1:23 says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. How is he going to pour out his spirit upon you? I will make my words known unto you, is what the scripture says. That's how he pours his spirit out, by the word. He lays the connector out, the words, and then that provides an avenue for the spirit to move. In John chapter 6, verse 63, it says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Why? That, because it's not something that's just taught, but that is the gospel. The gospel has life in it, life to change. And that's what Brother Ron said, the sign of the resurrection confirms the word. He said he had, there as though they went down on the road to Emmaus and went down into that little building there, something was done. The supernatural was made evident. Now, whatever you believe about what was happening there, it had to be something to identify the supernatural working of Christ that he did before he died on the cross to show that he was still alive. Brother Robert said, and it came to pass as he set at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them and their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. And he said, then you see it takes the accompanying of the sign of resurrection to confirm the word to make Jesus positive known to the people. And what's the sign of the resurrection? I believe we're coming to the point where we identify the sign of the resurrection with the sign of the Son of Man, which is God revealing himself back in flesh again, not just moving through the service of heaven church ages and the form of the manifestate, the office of the Son of God, part word, able to quicken, part word. But now with the full word laid bare before us, the full, if you've got the word, it allows the spirit to move, right? So if you've got the full word, it allows the full Spirit of God to be manifested in the hearts and lives of the church. The full word which will resurrect you from your dead denominational ideas, from your old carnal way of looking. It actually brings to pass, it actually makes visible the sign of the resurrection. The sign of the resurrection to bring the dead back from life. The sign of the resurrection to bring life into the church, to put life into you. Which is why Brother Brown quoted so often, Mark 16, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. Because where God is in the midst, you're going to have the sign of the resurrection. It's unavoidable. Where the true word is preaching, you're going to have healings. You're going to have things. When trouble arises, afflictions arise, God is there to meet every need, meet every affliction. And then Brother Brown said, now he appears. He appears to the elected believer. He didn't appear to no one but his elected church.
Amen.
He only appears to believers. Mm-hmm. Now today he still only appears to his elected church. There were many who taught of Messiah in those days. And there were many who looked for a coming Messiah. But he had a church that was elected. He had a church just like that. Those two little individuals, Cleopas and his friend, that he appeared to them. He didn't go... Brother Bram said he never appeared to Caiaphas or the Orthodox Church.
Nope.
He doesn't show himself to those that have died, all those organizational systems that have died, and now they're just caught up and just singing songs in a choir with lipstick and going out to the beach dressing like the world. And now you can't tell any difference between the world and what the denominational systems have become, because the supernatural is not made manifest in them anymore. All they have become is lodges of coffee drinkers and people that just maybe tell maybe some good teaching, but the supernatural is not there to make manifest that Christ is still alive. He said there were many who looked for a coming Messiah, but he had a church that he was elected. And if he was here today, he would do just the same as he did then.
Amen.
Appear to the elected believer. He said he never appears to the unbeliever. He said, I've always told you that God is infinite and cannot change. And if that was his attitude towards the world then after his resurrection, it's the same thing today.
Right.
And Jesus witnessed the same thing by saying, as it was in the days of Sodom, when he manifested himself, came in flesh to Abraham, sitting there looking over at Sodom and Gomorrah. As it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man when he manifests the sign of the resurrection to the little group of elected believers, to the little elected church that have the word, which makes way for the Spirit. Excuse me. He said after the resurrection, he never appeared to Caiaphas. The elected group is what saw God manifested in the flesh. Death couldn't hold him, the sign of the resurrection. And he said he has come in the form of the Holy Spirit to the elected church. And we are to take him to unbelievers. We're the ones that's to let his life shine through us that others might believe. It's us, Christ in the church, that shines forth his presence to make him visible to all. You know, that makes the message a positive gospel. It makes a positive thing that to know that you've got something that you can give to other people. That's really what I want. When I get up behind the pulpit, I meditate on these things. I don't want to preach a gospel that will take, but I want to preach a gospel that will give. We were sharing with some people recently about how that's really what I believe a ministry is like a candle that you once you light it, it gives itself up so that it can give a light to other people. That's what, not just a minister, but that's what a Christian is. Somebody that's on fire for God that really gives himself up, yields himself up so that other people can have a light to see by. Listen, Jesus taught that we don't put a bushel over a light. We don't hide our light, but we take that light into our workplace and into our into our church and we give something that other people can benefit from. I texted Brother Wade a little quote earlier that week where Brother Brown was talking about, listen, all the other denominations, everybody else in the world has entertainment. They've got all their soup suppers and all the different things. So we're not here to give people soup suppers and entertainment and ministers that know really how to entertain and slickers and things that can entertain somebody, because the world's got all the entertainment. They specialize in that. But we got something that they don't have. We got the light of the word. We got the light of the gospel. That's what we're doing here, is to give something that they ain't got. You realize that's what a lot of young people, they get that pull of things out in the world. They get pulled by stuff that's going on in the world. But if they can realize that they can get something here that they can't get out there, it'll change something. He said, we are the ones that's to let his life shine us through that others might believe. It's us, Christ in the church, that shines forth his presence to make him visible to all. So therefore, when he shines himself forth through the lives of his elected believers, those who are elected to eternal life receive him. But to think that the light of God is in the believer so much that you can actually give eternal life to somebody else by sharing that light that is in you. You can actually speak words of encouragement and life to give eternal life to somebody else. He said he manifested himself to his called out and elected church. He does the same thing to the church today, to manifest himself through his beings, us, the church, called out church. And that is the greatest news flash in history. That's the greatest news story that could ever be. It's greater than what the president's doing. It's greater than any kind of Titanic sinking or anything that's ever happened in history. It's greater than Alexander the Great conquering the world. It's greater than anything that you can pull out at the library. That God is still alive and he's moving and showing himself in the lives of his people and the lives of his church. Brother Bram said, our message is truly the greatest news flash that history's ever known. He said, we buried him dead, but he's up and alive again. He was dead when we buried him, and now he's alive forevermore. It's truly the facts. He is not dead, but he's alive forevermore. My, how that should stir the heart of a believer to know that the power that has been given in the church, power to overcome all that depression, power to overcome all that worldliness, power to overcome the way that you used to live, power to be a real Christian. Isn't it a joy to be a Christian? He said it makes a headline in the heart of the believer when he sees it and recognizes it. Thrills him above everything that could be ever done. It throws a headline that flashes everything else of the world dead. And he said, if you say you are a believer and those signs does not follow you, if you say you are a believer and those signs to prove that the resurrection is real, that he really has resurrected, he said, then you either have told something wrong or say that he said something wrong. That's a strong statement now. That's a strong statement. When you come to a problem in your life, a place of contention in your life, and you realize that maybe you're not looking at the word in the right way. Maybe you haven't been in touch with the supernatural. Maybe so far it's just been taught to you. But when you let God get a hold of you and quicken that word and make it rise up off of the pages, then you'll be able to tell the doctor, I'm healed. Then you'll be able to tell the people that say things about you at work, I met the master. Something's been changed in my life. Because Brother Bram said, the word will produce. These signs shall follow the believer. In my name they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues. If they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Those are strong words, but these are promises of God that we can lay at his feet and claim it when we have need of something. Signs of that type follows the believer. So Brother Bram said, come and see. Like earlier on in that chapter there where we were reading how the angel said, come and see where he lay. Come and see. Now, brother, let's pay close attention to how Brother Bram lays this, that we got something behind us, something with us, and something for us going on before. He said that was what he told the women, the angel, that morning at the grave. Come and see where he was laid. He ain't there now. Now, Brother Bram said if he ain't there, he's got to be somewhere. So we got to find out where he is. Now, if he ain't there, if he ain't still in the grave, then where is he at? Is he in the Methodist church? Is he in the Baptist church? Is he with the Presbyterian? I know this is maybe strong talk a little bit, but you got to find out where he is.
Amen.
Because if your heart's really in it and you really want to know where Christ is, where he's at, Come and see where he was laid, but he's not there no more. Now, isn't that what Philip told Nathanael? Come and see. And Nathanael's like, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come and see. Come and see what? Come and see what? The sign of the resurrection. The sign of what you've been taught made manifest before your eyes so you can see it. And Brother Brown said, the angel said, come and see where he was laid. Then go tell his disciples that I'll meet you in Galilee. Tell who? His bewildered disciples. And he said they were certainly bewildered. They didn't know what to do. They wanted to go back to catching fishes. You see what Brother Brown said catching fishes was? He said, we got to really watch what kind of a meeting we cooperate with. Catching fishes and being concerned about everything else except where the sign of the resurrection is. Being concerned about who's in it. Now this is what Brother Brown said. Being concerned about who's going to other churches and who's leaving and going over here and this, all this kind of stuff. Being concerned about churches swapping one person from one to the other. That's what the denominational system is worried about. We lost this one over to the Baptist church. We lost this one to the Presbyterian. Let's see how many we can get to flock to our church so that we can build numbers. God's not always in numbers. God is where his word is. He said we got to really watch what kind of a meeting we cooperate with. The district superintendent will turn us out. If we go down to such and such a meeting, the pastor will turn us out. The bishop will do something to us. Catching fishes, you see. Concerned about catching fishes. The bishop will do something to us or the church will excommunicate us. Oh, we're so busy watching our members to see that they don't go to no other church or have anything else to do but just our little clique. You see how many times Brother Bram was preach on forming a little click. When you got your little click, then you're watching that and you're, instead of watching the word, you're watching one another and watching what each of you do. And you got your little click where you got a little intellectual idea maybe of what you think should be done and you start criticizing, pointing fingers at one another. But he said, we're so busy, took up with so many different things. The church has got so much to do and so busy about this and that. We haven't got time to look into these things. What things? Where the resurrection sign of the Son of Man is. Where is he at? If he's not in the grave, where is he? He said, why not take a little time to study it out? Sit down before him and come, let us reason together. They had trusted that he was the Messiah and here he was dead and they didn't know what to do now. Go tell his bewildered church that I am alive and I'll go before him. He said they became comforted by a past experience. Now listen, there's some real nuggets here. Y'all try to stay awake. Hang on with me. They became comforted by a past experience, maybe remembering all the times that they had crossed the shore of Galilee and he came walking on the water in the middle of the storm and raising the dead and doing all those things, and that was a comfort to them. Now listen to what Brother Bram said, a comfort to the church is now that we base our experience, we base everything on Acts 2 and 4. Now that sounds like something that would be good to base your experience on, doesn't it? He said the church today is a great deal that way, even to the Pentecostals, trying to satisfy themselves with the Acts 2:4. Some past experience. But all that message of the living God still lives today. Why are you bewildered? I go before you. I'm not dead. I'm alive. What's Acts 2:4? You might not be able to remember. But Acts 2:4 says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, isn't that how a lot of Christians do today? They come and sit in the church and they look back to when they were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's great. That's what the Pentecostals did. That's what Brother Brown said when he preached where Pentecost failed, that they were fine with being born again and then they just stopped. That was good enough and they look back to that past experience and that's good enough and that's where you always mess up. That's where you get in trouble. He said 40 years later, here we find ourselves still Acts 2:4. God might come in with something else, with some more of his blessings, and they say, glory to God, we didn't have that. Hallelujah, we believe Acts 2:4. Here, our forefathers organized this. If they don't come up to this, what's he talking about? He said the sign of the resurrection is moving on to more of the word, to allow more of the spirit to come in, more working, and you get so tied up maybe with looking back at something. That isn't that how many times people will testify? I remember 20 years ago, God did something. Well, that's just, which is great. We love testimony. I remember 20 years ago, I saw God move and do something in somebody's life. But what about now? What's he doing for you now? I want to hear a current, present reality of God actually moving in your life. Because he's not a God of the past. But you know, Brother Branham even said that's why so many times we look back, we like to look back and go to Renfro Valley. We like to go up to Dollywood maybe and where they got old iron skillets and stuff. Cause we like, there's something within you to look back. And he said there's a desire to look back to the original word. And that's actually why you like going back to Renfro Valley and stuff. You want to go back to the way that things used to be, a simpler time. Because there's something in you to long for the original word, for the way that God originally put everything in place. He said, that's all right. Acts 2:4 is part of it. But the thing of it is, he said, one day, 2 years, he said, rise. You've been on this mountain for 40 years. Turn north, cross Jordan yonder, the separation, for there's more than this mountain for you. There's more than Acts 2:4 for you. Every promise in the book belongs to the church, and God's waiting for his church to rise and receive it. So he's going before us. Now, we're doing all right with the time. Hang on now. In Matthew 28, verses 5 to 7, it says, the angel talking to him, and he said to Mary, he's not here, for he's risen. And as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. He's risen from the tomb. He was alive among them. And he was going before them. He was going before them to lead them. Brother Brown said to a certain designation. And a designation is the action of choosing a place for a special purpose or giving it a special status. And the designation that we're marching toward is a change of the body. That's why in 1 Thessalonians, he quoted that. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with the promise that we're going to a designation, a special place reserved that God is leading us on to by his resurrected power. That he's not dead. He's somewhere. He's actually in the church. Yeah. Hey, Brother Brown said, now the message is he goes before us. He goes before us. He's not in a tomb behind us. He's before us making a way. We are to follow, not to look back to the tomb, but to look forward to where he's leading. For he's our leader. We're to follow him, not look back to the tombs. Trying to find where I put that in my nose. He said, Cleopas and his friend met the resurrected Christ. He said, oh, after they found out the truth that he was resurrected, because they'd seen him keep his word and fulfill it and do exactly like he did before he was crucified. Right. They hot footed it across the country. Right. I imagine they were just hitting every 4 or 5 yards. They were in a hurry because they met the resurrected Christ. They saw him fulfilling his word. He said they wanted to tell the rest of them truly, the Lord is risen indeed. They had something in their hearts. And he said, Brother Brown said, they looked to Jesus only. When they heard that Jesus had raised from the dead and appeared among them like that, they didn't stand and look at one another. Isn't that what somebody was actually telling me the other day, that the reason why somebody they knew had left the message was because they got to looking at people. And they got to looking at people not unable to overcome. And you're going to have that. You're gonna have people that just can't quite break through. And that problem is when you begin to look at other people, look at other ministers and things, look at, if you get your eyes right, if you get your eyes on the word, you'll begin to realize maybe that things maybe that you heard around the message, around the denominational ideas aren't the way that it really is. Keep your eyes on Christ. Don't look for gimmicks or secrets, or look for somebody to rise up, but just keep your eyes right on the word. He said they seen his scars. They seen his power. They seen him do the miracles that he did before he was dead. And they know that it was their living God, and they didn't look to one another. Neither did they ask anybody to look to them. They just said, look at God. Look at Christ. Look at his word. He said, don't look toward those poor, mournful garlic eaters back there, back in the wilderness, wanting the flesh pots of Egypt. Don't look at other sinners that are around the message, people that haven't overcome. Don't look at somebody that hadn't broke through, that's still wearing shorts and dresses and painted lips. Now, these are his words. Yeah. And cutting their hair and denying the power of God.
Amen.
Let them alone. He said, don't look back to them. Don't pay any attention to them. We look to Jesus.
Amen.
We look to Joshua. Who's leading us on.
Amen.
Now, Brother Ram said, remembering this, that we have something behind us. And he quoted the scripture that where Jesus said, all power in heavens and earth is given unto me.
Right, man. Right.
Now, you see what a promise that is? If all power in heaven and earth is given to him, and he's living inside of you, then now you got something to back you up. That's actually what, when I first started ministering, you can applaud that. When I first started ministering, somebody kind of gave me a little word of encouragement. They said, you know, when you get up behind the pulpit, it's like you're at the tip of a spear and you got all heaven behind you.
Right.
And you, in other words, you got some backup.
Right.
Now listen, that's how every Christian is, not just a minister.
Right.
You got some backup.
Yes, sir.
And when things begin to fall apart in your life, you got backup. That you can fall back on.
Right.
That's many times our problem is when things begin to fall apart, we want to get our hands all over it and we want to try to fix it. But if you'll just come to a place where you realize that you got some backup that can do things that you can't do.
Right.
Because he said, all power is given unto me.
Right.
All power. Yeah. All power. That means all the power.
Right.
You ain't never met anybody with that kind of power that can meet every need that you've got, that can satisfy every gap in your life, close up every wound. He said to every promise that he made, because all power is given unto him.
Right.
Something to back us up. So that means that there's somebody behind us, something in us, and something before us.
Amen.
Somebody behind us to back us up, somebody with us, and somebody leading us on where to go to the designation,
Amen.
To go to the designated place of body change. But that's what Brother Brandon said. He was, he is, and shall come. The same Jesus that was is the same Jesus tonight and the same Jesus that shall come, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come, believe, and go, and tell somebody about it. He said his life, what he was to us, is his back life. His life, what he was to us, is his back life. And this is such a profound statement. Hang on with me just while I quote a few more things. He said, he gave us what he was so that we would not be deceived in what he is today. He gave us now what he was so that you would not be deceived, so you would be able to recognize Christ resurrected in your midst. That's why he said, don't take anybody's word for it. Take God's word for it.
Amen.
And Brother Brown said he stayed with the message from the Father. He stayed with the scriptures. He's saying that's how Cleopas and his friend were able to recognize him.
Amen.
Were able to discern that he was true.
Right.
Because he stayed with the scriptures.
Right.
He stayed with the scriptures. Is not it written in your scriptures? No matter what they wanted to see and what they wanted to do, they wanted him to raise up this one and do that one. He said, I do what the Father shows me to do. I do nothing in myself but what I see the Father doing at first. That's why he's the same today. He appeared to us yesterday and proved what he was behind us, that he might be what's in us, and a substitutionary thought in our mind of what he will be. In other words, that you've got in your mind that you are going to take a body change. He said, if it's this glorious when he comes down among us now, what will it be when we have a body like his? Then we see we got something in the back. We got some backup going before us, going on before us to prepare a place for us. He's gone. He is. He was. He see what we was. We look back and see what he was. So we see what he is today. And I'm going to close on that note. The musicians can come forward. So will you see what we've got? The greatest news flash in history to declare that he's not dead. We have not believed just some teachings of man that cannot accomplish something, that cannot deliver, that cannot set the captive free. But we've actually received a message of the supernatural. We've received a supernatural message declaring that he is not dead, but he is alive. He said, beyond a shadow of doubt, you're not dead, but you're alive forevermore. The great conqueror. Not dead, but alive. What a message to declare. Let's stand to your feet and let's just worship the Lord a little bit. Can we sing He is Here? Hallelujah.
He is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless His name again.
Glory.
Message declares that He's here. He's not back there somewhere. He's here. He's a present help in time of need. Whatever you have need of, you can touch Him, just like that woman that reached out and touched the hem of His garment. Because He's here to meet every need. Bless His name again. He is here. Listen close. In calling out your name, He is here, you can touch Him, you will never be the same. He is here, hallelujah, He is here. Let's worship Him now. He's here, holy, holy. I will bless His name again. He's here, listen closely. Hear Him calling out your name. He's here, you can touch Him. One touch from the Master and you'll never be the same again. That's what Jacob found when he wrestled with the angel. And after one touch, he never walked the same again. He never talked the same again because he had met the Master. He had been touched by Him. Let's sing a no.
E flat. Let's go to E flat. 288. Jesus is coming soon. Amen.
That's the truth.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now's at stake. Humble your heart to God, saves from chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away. Jesus coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the sky. Going where no one dies. Heavenward
promises that you've already spoken.
Love is so many cold.
And we believe that your Lord will bring a work of miracle to pass. Lord Jesus, you'll do something, Lord God. And we're trusting in your promises. We're trusting in the things that you already spoke, Lord God. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you'll just come up on the scene now. And according to our sister's request, Lord, and according to our faith, Lord, that she's laying before you, Lord. We ask this blessing upon this situation now in your name. Believe it, Lord God. Bring it, Lord God. Amen. Believe it. Lord Jesus, we just ask that you'll just bless this cloth, Lord God, that you'll send your anointing to it, Lord. Wherever it's Lord goes and wherever it's laid, that your purpose will be accomplished, Lord God. We ask this blessing, Lord, in your name. Amen.
Troubles will soon be over, happy forevermore. Oh,
altar, rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye, hoping we then will fly, glory to share. Is this coming soon, morning or night or noon? Many will meet there, trumpets will sound, trumpets will sound, all of the dead shall rise, rise as we in the sky, going where no one high, ever bound.
Amen. That's that designation that we're walking toward. We're following after Joshua, the Holy Ghost, to our designation. Are you glad? All hearts and minds clear? You've got something to announce. We'll go ahead and turn the service over.
One more time, so we'll be ready for the weekend, if that's all right. And before we get started, Sister Cleta would like to thank all of you for praying for her. She's back here. And especially the children. She heard that many of the children had went into prayer. And sometimes they can touch God when we can't.
That's right.
So I want every kid, I don't care who you are, how old you are, how young you are, I want you praying for me. Sarah, David, I don't care who it is. You call my name in prayer, I ain't going to say. That's the faith right there, brother. So Sister Cleta said thank you. She's back with us and she's doing